You might like to open your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 17. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence for your word, for your work to bring about the benefits of being in your presence. And our God, we thank you. So deal with us. It's necessary that you do what you do. For without you doing it, it's not going to be done. So thank you very, very much. Be with the children and help us in every way. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise and study, John chapter 17, and God is encouraging the believers, the 11 in the upper room. He's encouraging them so that they could be benefited and to help them. And their needs are great. The situation is very trying and demanding an answer in the light of the trial and crucifixion and their rejection, their lack of understanding. So God encourages them, as we share together in chapter 17, to tell them about their wonderful, wonderful future in their relationship to God. And that's what they're to have. In other words, in the light of verse 16 and 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world system, you shall have tribulation squeezing, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And you have to understand that relationship to God, which is what he's demonstrating in his prayer, chapter 17, which they are able to listen to. They're sitting there, standing there, listening to this prayer. God talking to God, as it were. So therefore, in the light of God's glory, etc. So God is glorious, and we share together in verse 3, the eternal life, he spells that out. Eternal life is a relationship to God. Eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So, in the process, glorious in life, and to know. Now, God's going to help them in understanding. There's a relationship they're going to have, and that they do have, but they don't understand it yet. And it isn't made possible to be real, in the sense, until Pentecost. But in practical effect, it is just sitting there, developing and waiting to be expressed. So therefore, when we come to chapter 17, and in verse 4, I have glorified thee in the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, Glorify thou me with thine ear, with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the work. So before he came to planet Earth, he was God. And on the planet Earth, born in Bethlehem of Judea, our Lord Jesus Christ became flesh so that we could understand and know him. Know God in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, here's the 11, and the 11 are in the upper room. They've been with him 3 1/3 years. So, what are they knowing, and how well do they know it? And it is those 3 1/3 years have not been wasted. You would think they've been wasted since they don't know who he is for sure yet, that he's God. You would think they've been wasted, but they aren't wasted at all. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, And Judas is there to help us, but Judas is now left. And so you add pieces here. He spent 3 1/3 years, but he didn't connect. Is it possible to be in the atmosphere and not connect? Yes. Not connect. For 3 1/3 years, same as the other 11. And they didn't connect. So that's possible. I need to understand that, especially in light of the mustard seed and all of that. Now, having said that, and in the process, the Israelites spent 40 years in the wilderness, a cloud by day and fire by night, for 40 years. You would think, did they know God's presence? Yes. Did they understand and enjoy God's person? No. Some did, but some didn't. Most of them didn't. Now, having said that, and keeping in mind another one that would help, think of the prodigal son. The prodigal son in Luke 15, the prodigal son was there. He was with the father, his brother, and family, and servants, and everything. He had everything. But he wanted to feel his Cheerios and stuff. And so out the door he went and spent his everything and ended up eating corn husk with the pigs. That's what he did. Wow. So is it possible? Yes. Is it possible to have everything? Here we are. You're always in the presence of God. Is it possible to be in the presence of God and miss the whole thing? Absolutely. The whole world is in the presence of God. And I miss the whole thing. Miss the whole thing. We got a Buddha and all of the different things. No God. No God. So, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, in the process. So now, and so God is going to go and manifest himself, like in verse 5, to make himself visible, open, plain, reveal. He's going to reveal and share his wonderful, wonderful name. So in the process, God being going to do that, and he's going to show that what? Verse 6, I have manifested thy name, made it clear, easy to see. I have made it, remember now he's talking to God the Father, and the 11 disciples are listening. And they've spent 3 1/3 years with him. So, I have manifested thy name unto the men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and I have kept, and they have kept thy word. So, looking at verse 6, God is gone, and God the Father has given him the Son, given the Son, these men. Now, keep in mind, if you would, our Lord, so you don't lose it, God has given him these men. And we know before anything is created, God that we know of, anything is created, including angels. A God had determined the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. So no one's going to be created. Nothing's going to be done in heaven and earth that will be, that God didn't make possible to be happen and to outwork itself and to glorify him. He's the Creator. The Creator is willing to go and die on the cross when there's nothing. That's the plan. We've shared that many times. That's the wonderful, wonderful plan of God. So therefore, nothing can be created that God doesn't have the solution for when he died, is going to go to the cross. So when you read in verse 6, I manifested thy name unto those that thou gavest me. Now God, you're going to go in your most wonderful, wonderful way, and you're going to go and give the people, give the disciples, and you know them. So God, what don't you know about anybody before anybody's created? You know everything about everybody before they're created. And you have a wonderful plan, Christ, Israel. Israel is a wonderful nation to the nations, and that has put aside. Crucifixion comes along, and grace replaces law, as it were. And grace comes along and shows God's wonderful, wonderful grace in dying on the cross. That is, God being the Savior, God saving 1,000%. Humans and everyone contribute nothing. God condemns and repairs and restores the possibility for all humans. He died on the cross. So now, God, did you know what you're going to do when he dies on the cross? Yes. Do you know what's going to happen after the cross? They're going to reject him, and I'm going to raise up a body for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm going to do. All before anything. And therefore, do you know the 12? Absolutely. Do you know the 12? Absolutely. Did you know the 12 tribes before you created Abraham? I did. I knew it all. I'm telling you what I did. But in the light of redemption, you need to understand that. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, and God is going to go and help them understand his the wonderful relationship that they have to be realized. And God committed himself to go to the cross in a most wonderful, wonderful way, to be experienced and to experience and to enjoy God the Father. To be able, us humans, to be able to experience and enjoy God the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what it's for. Why did you come? To bring us to the Father. To have what? Because all belongs to the Father. Back before the Lamb, our Lord, God the Father to God the Son. Was that all understood? God the Son is going to go and die on the cross to bring everything to the glory of God. How are we going to glorify God? The Son is going to make possible the glory of God so that the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, that the Father can be the centerpiece, all of which God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are all one in a unique way to honor God the Father. Now, so God the Father, when I read in verse 6, thou gavest me out of the world. So I understand, where did the 11 come from? The 11. Why the 11? Well, hang on. Why the 11? Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. So here they are going and honoring God, looking to God. Now, having said that, over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11, so you can tie that a little more differently together, maybe. Matthew chapter 11. And you would know, picking up if I can, in verse 20, chapter 11, verse 27. All things, said the Lord, are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save except the Son. And he to whom whosoever the Son will reveal him. So we can't come to Father. But the Father gives everybody, but you can't come to the Father except through the Son. Christ has to go to the cross and die on the cross in a most wonderful way. And therefore, keeping that in mind, over if I can, in chapter 6, of John. And the only way to get to God, the Father, is through the Son. And God has spent 3 1/3 years with them. So they have a unique relationship to God. And they have that, God. Now, as we're doing this, keep in mind, it's relevant. You and I and all of your existence from before you were born till after you go to heaven or to you're saved, hopefully. All of that is in the mind of God before you were ever created. All of tomorrow, your tomorrow, is in the mind of God before you were ever created. You need to understand where God's, as we're reading, because I say, I don't understand. Put it together. We aren't talking about a human. We aren't talking about angels. We're talking about God. God the Creator. God the Savior. So I need to understand it from God's, where he's coming from. So therefore, God the Son sent it, God the Father sent his Son to die on the cross to make it all possible. And even though I told you John 6, let me do something a little different. Go back, hold your finger in John 6 if you want, and go back over to Matthew in chapter 4. And in chapter 4, here's the, remember the 11 in the upper room. Keep in mind how they got there. Chapter 4, picking up please, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And that was the message of John the Baptist. Verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. In other words, they're looking to make their livelihood, etc. And he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. They dropped the net, fish or no fish, and followed him. Peter, did you go home and tell your wife? No, he didn't. Did you tell anybody? Did you tell how much, did you sell the fish? Do you owe money for the fish? No, he just left. He just left. God spoke and he went. Now God knew that. God knew that. That's what they did. So you want to understand their 3 1/3 years, how they started. They didn't mess it around. They weren't going to have a debate like many would be. No debate. They immediately followed. Read it again. Verse 21. And going on from hence, he saw two brethren, James and the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left their ship and their father, and followed him. "Dad, I know you want to have an appointment. I'll see you tomorrow." No, they just went. That's what they did. So you want to understand, as they're going 3 1/3 years, they have what? These guys, they didn't have a debate about going. They didn't discuss with their family, their friends, or their children, or their job, or their pay, or anything. They just rolled up their sleeves and immediately went. We don't have any record of them leaving after 3 1/3 years. They're going to stay steady 3 1/3 years. Steady. That's important because people are all over the place. But boy, these guys are there. So when it says, "They knew my word," it's true they don't know him. It's true they can't. Hang on. But boy, the God, they're with him. They're with him. Thick or thin. Now, back over, if I can, with that in mind, John chapter 6. And you'd recall John chapter 6, picking up, please, if I can. Remember now, verse 6 and 2. 6, 2. And a great multitude followed him. What we just read, Peter, James, John, they left their net and followed him. So here's all the people. And why, God, are you pinning down the 11? And what about the rest? Well, they followed him, verse 2. And the multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them, and they were diseased. So they're all getting healed and fed. I mean, you can't do better than that. It always interests me, interests you maybe, of all the thousands of people he healed. You would think a lot of stuff would be saying, wow. But they don't. They took it for granted. They took for granted what he did without relating, learning. He fed them. He took it, healed them without no relation. Think of the wilderness, 40 years in the wilderness, where they were with him. And they murmured and grumbled. And Judas is there, etc. Now, having said that, and what they want to do, they wanted everything on their terms. Verse 13. Well, skipping for verse 14 for time. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle, feeding of the 5,000, 15,000 women and children, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth the prophet, and should come into the world. Verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come, they're going to come, take him by force to make him a king. And he departed again into a mountain alone, himself by alone. He left. He knew what they were going to do. And they surely went and did it. Now, sliding over to chapter 6 and picking up, please, in chapter 6, if I can, verse 60. 6 and 60. Now remember, he's telling them his wonderful truths, the relationship they're going to have that has to be realized to him, to God the Father. Verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, think of Sunday school, a hard saying, who can hear it? We have to feed off you. In other words, you're our life. You're the glory. You're the crowd. You're the creator. We can't enjoy except we abide in you and you abide in us. Without you, we can do nothing. Is that all true? We don't want that. No, it can't be. It can't be that way at all. So therefore, sliding down, verse 65. And when he said, therefore, said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Yeah. See, God, why? Because God the Father sent the Son to die on the cross. The whole thing is of God. Where did the 12 die? They came from God. God had to have everyone, for Israel, picked out for all of his wonderful purposes. And he did that in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, many, verse 66 as we read, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. They didn't want to do it. It was too much. God's plan, God's lamb, all of those wonderful things. They were, over to John chapter 6, picking up, please. You'll catch it in verse 63. We don't want to leave that. 663, since you're right here, in that context. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. They're God's word, and they're full of life, because they're God's word. God's word. The words that I speak unto you, So they're hearing him. The crowd isn't following, but the 11, the 12, not counting Judas now, the 11, a hearing. So is Judas, but it didn't do any good. Is Judas seeing it? Yes, but it doesn't do any good because he isn't doing anything with it. He has to, like we see it in Sunday school, you got to grow up, you got to learn, you got to relate to the in the exercise. That's what it's about. Now, so having said that, he then turns around to them, just while we're here, verse 67. Then said Jesus unto them, 12, will you go away also? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. They know that. They know that. You have the words. No one else has the words. No one can say what you're saying. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We don't have a question that you're the Messiah. We believe. And we know your words. Verse 70. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil, or the Judas, now. So having said that, keeping that in mind, go over to Matthew, while I'm on that thought, Matthew and chapter 16. And what do we know? The disciples are hearing, they're following, they're close, they're hearing it. Are they understanding it to the point of doing? No. But it's there. They're there. They're caught in the experiences to be exercised. Matthew chapter 16, God, are you helping them? They don't know. God, are you? Keep in mind, God helps us. Chapter 16 and verse 16, 16, verse 15 even. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? To his 11. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. That's just like we read in John 6. Well, how did you get that? Where did you pick that up? Because no one else is even coming close. Verse 17. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonas. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, God, what are you doing? You're revealing, you're making known, you helped Peter. Peter, they helped Peter and all the other 11 to help them what? Understand who he was. I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God. And John 6, we believe thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So there's no question about that. No question. They have all of that wonderful information in their head, but they can't do anything with it. It's just there. It wasn't there. It is there. And they know it's there. So therefore John 17. And in John chapter 17, picking up, if I can find it again. John 17. And in the process, picking up, please, we read in verse 6, at the end of the verse, thou gavest me, and they have kept thy word. They've kept it. And we just read it in Matthew and John 6. He told them, God gave them who he is. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the law, God. And did they, are they with it yet? No. Are they enjoying what they're going to? No, not yet. But boy, they know, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. They said it. They have no question about it. There's no question of what he said. That's what he said. So therefore, verse 7. Now they have known, they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. So all of the things that God has said, they have known that God has given them. God is the one giving them. So there's no question about that at all. And you would know, we'll do that just to exercise. John, you're here. John chapter 1 again. And And in John chapter 1, picking up, please, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, God, the Lamb became, the Lamb of God slain, had to become a man. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the glory, remember John 17, he's trying to help the believers understand in the upper room. Glory. Do you understand? It's the glory of God, the grandeur, the greatness, the glory of God in a wonderful, wonderful way that's going to happen. You're going to see it from God's point of view. You're going to understand it from God's point of view. You're going to enjoy it from God's point of view. Glory, not from yours, not from the world around you, but from God's. Therefore, full of grace and truth, sliding down, what was the Lord's purpose? Verse 18, and no man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom, parts of the body, in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared to make him known. What's the purpose of Jesus becoming born in Bethlehem of Judea? To make God, to be able to tell about God. See, I can talk about God, you can talk about God, but we can't see God. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to tell them, explain to them, declare to them God. We read it in John 14. He that has seen me hath what? Seen the Father. Do you understand? He's there. What's your purpose, God, coming down, dying on the cross, to make all of this possible, to make it all possible in a most, most wonderful way? And so, therefore, God is doing such. And for this cause, they attained, in verse 8, chapter, well, no, while I'm here, I did that, okay. Over a few of these, back over to John 17. He, our God, in a most wonderful way, his purpose is to make him known. And therefore, verse 17:7, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. So everything that he has, our Lord Jesus, has said it over and over and over again. Everything that I have, the words that I speak, all that I do it. John 5. John 5, and in verse 19. Why are they going to know? They're going to know because there was no way not to know. All of his works and all of his words were known without any question. He gave credit every time to God. And you'll notice, please, verse chapter 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And you can read 100 verses, 100 statements. He tells you, there's no question. I kept telling you, John chapter 14 again. You were there. John chapter 14. And in John 14, picking up. Picking up, please, in verse 10. 14:10, you read it. Believest thou not that I am in my Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, verse 11, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Do you understand? God is talking to you, not from Mount Sinai. He's talking to you from his becoming flesh. He's talking to you. Do you understand? God's trying to help you understand your humanity, your wonderful reason he created you, to be able to have a unique, practical, wonderful relationship to God that honors him in a most wonderful way, to know him. Eternal life is to know him, to know the glory of God, to know what it is to be a child of God, to be a child of God. Wow. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over in John chapter 17. And the reason, verse 6, the reason that, and verse 7, that all things, reason, that all things thou hast given me are of thee. So that's why they know. So they have no question. And verse 8 is going to help you with verse 7. They know. They are given to me of the, thou hast given me are of thee, all things that you have. So everything God gave it, it's from God. So therefore, when we come to verse 8, for I have given unto them thy words, which thou gavest me, and they have received them. Hang on. That's they have my word. Remember we just read John Matthew's, thou art the Christ, the Son of the God, and he's listened to many disciples left, but following, but they're still following right there, and thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. They have the words. There's not a question, the reason, the cause, the knowledge, namely on the part of Jesus, the words were given him by God. God gave them. Where did all of his words come from? They came from God. Why? To help you know God. To know God, I have given them. Verse 8, I have given them thy word. Wow. I've given them thy word. Now, you'd say, well, they don't remember. But they do. They do, but they can't do anything with it. They can have the thing, but they don't know how to put it together. They have to have life. That's what God is trying to tell them. All of the wonderful truths and all the things you saw in me and did and watched and all of it that came from God, you're going to have to know and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And therefore, in verse 8, and they have received them. They have received the words. So they didn't get rid of them. They didn't drop them. They didn't walk away from them. God doing his most wonderful thing in a most, most wonderful way. And they know. They know that God came. Look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And picking up, please, in verse 28. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave not the world, and I leave the world, and go to my Father. I came from God, I'm going back to God. Verse 20, the disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, speaketh no problem. That's nothing confusing. You came from God, you're going back to God. Verse 30, now, are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. We have no question you came from God in a most, most wonderful way. And that's what you did. So having said that and keeping that in mind, and by the way, where you have that, John chapter 7, and add to that, so you see it, John chapter 7. If I can, in verse 26, to show people had hearing is one thing, understanding is another. Having a relationship to enjoy that. You can read a great story about a king, a queen, a son, and all of that. But all it is a story. The son could talk to the king could talk to the son. But you can't, it's just a story. The Bible can be just a story to you. Just a story. You want to be a son so that the Bible isn't out here and you're reading it and trying to get it. And they have all that, chapter 7, I don't want to lose it, chapter 7, if I can, and in verse 26. But lo, I'll read verse 25, context. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? That's the Lord Jesus. Verse 26. Lo, he speaketh boldly, our Lord, and they say nothing unto him. He didn't miss any words. The Lord didn't. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Don't they know? Sure they did. They didn't want to know. He told them he was the Christ. He told them he's the Messiah. You don't have to guess he's the Messiah. He said I'm the Messiah. I'm the one. But they didn't want to believe. They didn't want to believe. So John chapter 17. And they have received three things, for I have given unto them the word which thou gavest me, and they've received the word. They received the word. Remember, they're following close. So they're listening close. They're hearing close, 3 1/3 years. They aren't distant out here. They're right there. In the feeding of the 5,000, you know that, because they're serving. When he's in the ship, wherever he is, you're right there. You're right there in what he says. You're right there in what he's doing. That's right. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so surely, and they've received him. And, secondly, have known surely that I came out from thee. They know that I'm from God. They know my perfect humanity. They don't understand it, but they know it. They can't connect it, John 17, 14. They can't connect God in Christ. They can't get that. But they know God sent him. They don't have a problem with that. They know that. That he came from God. Like Moses came from God, and Elijah came from God, and Jesus came from God. But no, not that way. He's from God. He stepped out of heaven, put a human body on, and went to the cross in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Having done that, picking up, please, in verse 8, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they've received the words, no question. And they have known, surely I came from thee. There's no question about that. And thirdly, they have believed that thou didst send me. They had no question. They believed that thou didst send him. So they don't have a question about that. They believe that God sent him in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, God sent him. And so they received, know, and believe. But they don't have any life yet. Now, the point, why I'm going to be one of them, like all of us are listening. We're listening to this conversation between God and God, and we're listening to it, and we're hearing that we're supposed to be knowing and believing and understanding the 3 1/3 years. We're supposed to be having all this information in our head and heart. We're supposed to have it, and we look at each other, and here we are, depressed, disappointed, discouraged, our world's coming to an end, Christ is going to be crucified. What happened to it? Nothing happened to it. It's just right now, you can't connect it all. It isn't meant to be for you to connect. God has to connect it in a most wonderful way. In a most wonderful way? Yes, in a most wonderful way. Over, if you would please, in your Bible, to Ephesians. Ephesians. And in chapter 1, now without taking time, well, if we want to forget that part, in Ephesians, point, I'm interested, God, where do we fit in? Wonderful conversation. We aren't spending 3 1/3 years. We don't have all of that stored up in our head. We don't have that. Nope. God, what were you saying? And you're going to say it to them and to us, for them, to them, for us. You're going to say that. So now, Ephesians, what do we know, God? You're going to do what? What is God going to know? He's going to go and be crucified and rise again, and God is going to establish in Acts 2 the church on the day of Pentecost. It's going to have a unique relationship to God, to be able to have God in Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory, God in you, new creatures in Christ as we did, all of these things are true. How, why? Why are you saying this to them? And he's going to say the next verse, verse 9, I pray not for the world. I'm praying for you. Now, why do you say that, God? I died for the world. The world needs to believe. You have been with me. You are chosen. You are selected. You have been privileged to know of God's saving grace, and you believe. So therefore, Ephesians chapter, and I've my Father has given you to me. My Father, all those little phrases in John 6, 7, and 8. My Father has given you to him, to the Lord. That's what he's done. Wow. Given you. Now, for me, Ephesians 1, watch it. Verse 22. And God hath put all things, 1:22, put all things under his feet and gave him, God gave. Keep reading it. God giving. God the Father giving. And put all things under his Christ's feet and gave him, Christ, to be the head over all things to the church. God gave. What? God gave whosoever's that believe to the Son to be his body. Verse 23. Which is my body, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God, what are you going to do? The head provides for the body needs the head needs the body. Together they have a wonderful, wonderful way to express the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, seated. Now he's going to show himself in his body, before the foundation of the world. God, so what are you doing? Here we are. God, you gave the disciples all of this, and all of it's going to be for real. All of it's going to be for no questions asked. The Spirit of God's going to make it all happen in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, you have to wait till you get there. Understand it. Okay. So, written, the relationship needs to be realized. God, what are we looking at? God has made Christ the head. We're the body. Why are you praying for them? Why are you caring? It's my body. The world out there isn't my body. The Jewish people aren't believing yet. You're my body. I care. You know, Ephesians 5. You're right there. Turn. I got to quit. Ephesians 5. I hope you got a little bit. I didn't mean to lose you. Ephesians chapter 5. Picking up, please, in verse 27, that he might present it, the church, to himself, a glorious church, body, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 29, no man ever yet hated his own flesh. You don't go and massacre your flesh, your hands, your feet. You don't put your feet in a wood chopper. You don't do that. You cherish them. You protect them. There's all kinds of things. But when it comes to the body, that's personal. That is personal. The Lord said, listen, you guys, you need to understand, when you followed me day one and stayed with me these 330 years, and all of it is absorbed, you're going to go and you're my prized, privileged people. You're my witnesses. And therefore, verse 29, No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Therefore, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, God, why are you so particular to these 11? It's very personal to me. Israel is very personal. All the nations are. I died for them. But Israel is very precious to me. Israel. My body is very precious to me. And if you don't mind, I care about my body. Remember verse 9. I pray not for the world. I'm praying for my body. It's personal to me. Very personal. That's wonderful. God, you gave us all this. That's right. I want you to know it's personal. So God, when I read, you've been chosen us before the foundation of the world and all of this, that's rather personal, isn't it? He chose me before the foundation of the world. That's awesome. Wow, I can't get more personal. Wow, I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit.